If you're interested in listening ad-free, go to patreon.com/the SCP Experience. There you can enjoy my ad-free podcast and never have to listen to ads again. That's patreon.com/the SCP Experience. Now time for the story. I'm leaving this recording behind so that you'll know the truth about what goes on here. And so you'll know who finally took a stand against injustice. A stand for freedom, for truth. My name is Gerald Shepherd. People just call me Shep, and I don't have a lot of time. So I'll get right to this. There's a lot to cover. A lot of terrible stuff. I've been working on a tunnel for months now. I've been here for years in this prison. No, it's far worse than any prison. But I'm getting ahead of myself. When I learned what my room was next to, I had to try. There are no cameras in the rooms, not our rooms. And it's not because they trust us, they don't. The problem is, they don't have the funding to put cameras in all Class D personnel rooms. They would if they could. So I just had to find a way to get rid of the concrete that I was digging out of the wall, which was easy enough to flush down the toilet little by little. I was only able to do a small amount of digging at a time. I made sure to hide the hole in the wall with my bed, so I could just crawl under and dig whenever I had some free time. Most of us don't stay here long enough to start on anything like a tunnel, but I've been fortunate, if you can call it that. I've become a kind of mascot for some of the staff here. They think I'm lucky, but it's not me they care about. They think that if they involve me in a project, the project will go forward without a hitch. My mere presence is enough. So most of the time, I'm given relatively safe jobs. Most of the time. But the thing about getting a safe job on these projects is that you have to watch what happens to the guys that aren't lucky. The guys that aren't a mascot for the scientists. Guys I've come to know. Guys I've come to be friends with. One guy by the name of Ted Becker was told to walk up to this big vase thing and tap it. They wanted to see what happened when he touched it. These little creatures poured out of the vase and swarmed Ted. They ripped him apart, using their teeth and claws to tear into his flesh. He screamed and screamed. At first he wanted help. He wanted to be let out of there. But as his guts fell out and the creature started going into his body to tear it apart from the inside out, all he wanted was death. And they wouldn't give it to him. I looked at the expression on Dr. Martin's face, and I swear I saw a smile there. Another guy, Sal Stevenson, was put in a room with a rabbit's foot keychain. They just wanted him to stay in the room for a couple of hours with the item and see what happened. Simple enough, right? Well, Sal became obsessed with that keychain. It was all he would talk about when they took him out of the room. He would stay up all night, banging on his cell door, begging to get just one glimpse of the damn thing. But they wouldn't let him. This went on for a week before Sal stopped banging on his door one night. When the guards opened up the doors for breakfast the next day, they found that Sal had killed himself. He'd drowned himself in his own toilet, all because of the keychain. Another friend of mine named Geraldo was told to put on a porcelain mask to see what happened. The mask fused with his face and seemed to take over his personality. It walked around the cell, using Geraldo's body for months. I watched as Geraldo slowly died, and his body became like a zombie's. The mask finally let go when it was no longer able to control his body because of how decomposed it was. And I won't lie to you, these were not the best guys. As far as I know, all of us Class D personnel were serving life sentences before we came here to this underground hellhole. Ted told me he'd killed his wife and his brother when he caught them sleeping together. He didn't seem sad about it. Sal killed two men in a convenience store during a robbery. Geraldo never told me what he was in for. And usually the guys that never tell anyone are the worst ones of all. Me? Well, I got the book thrown at me. I put a guy in the hospital while driving drunk. And I'll always be sorry as hell about that. But then, when I got to Pelican Bay, I had to defend myself against an attack. I killed an inmate who was trying to kill me. And I got a life sentence for that. How's that for lucky? But ask yourself if our crimes should dictate cruel and unusual punishment. Should the Constitution or the Bill of Rights be thrown out the window just because we were serving life sentences? Should we die terrible and painful deaths, experience physical and mental torture, and watch our friends die just because we're criminals? When they came to see me at the prison, to recruit me, they lied to me. They told me all about the good food and the freedom of movement on D floor and the sitting room with all the DVDs and video game systems. Sure, all that was true. And they told me that we would be participating in experiments. But they left out the part where those experiments could kill you in ways you couldn't even imagine. They left out the part where you have to watch your friends die while the staff gets to go home to their wives and kids and husbands every night. So you'll forgive me for digging the tunnel. And if you don't, well, I guess it won't matter much to me anyways. I'm sitting in my room now. I broke through the tunnel just before I went to find this recording device. But as soon as I broke through, as soon as I felt the open air of the next room over, I plugged the hole back up with a pillow for my bed. It's not a big hole, but it's big enough. I went and got this recording device, and now I'm back. And I'm ready to put my plan into action. Which means I need to go find one of the guards, preferably Hutchinson. So I'm going to put this in my pocket, but I'll leave it on so you can hear. Hey, Hutch, come check this out. Not now, Shep. Can't you see I'm busy beating Craig's ass in Mortal Kombat? It's Dr. Marv that wants you, not me. It'll only take a second. Fine, where is he? In my room. What the fuck? What did you do, Shep? He's dead. Doc's dead. I needed his tape recorder, see? Here it is. I'm making a record of what's happening here. Okay, hopefully you've heard all that, dear listener. Hutchinson is here with me. He's just seen the dead doctor, but he's about to get another surprise. Shep, what's going on here? What's under there? Don't move, Shep. Too late. I've already pulled the pillow out of the tunnel. There's no stopping it now. Shep, what's on the other side of that tunnel? Wouldn't you like to know? I thought we were friends, Shep. I thought we saw eye to eye. I like you. I really do. But you need to get down on the ground right now. And you need to tell me what the hell is going on here. Hutchinson is now pointing a stun gun at me. He doesn't realize what's happening. He doesn't know what's coming. Put the recorder down and get on the ground, Shep. Do it now. Look, Hutch. There's one now. Can't you hear the buzzing sound? It's getting louder. You've probably already been bit. You just don't know it. I wish you could see the look on Hutchinson's face, dear listener. He's just slapped at one of the mosquitoes that landed on his arm. There's another one on his forehead. But these aren't just any mosquitoes. You do know that, don't you, Hutch? What are they? What do they do? This is so much better than I thought it would be. So much better. What do they do, goddammit? Did you just kill me, Shep? Did you just fucking kill me? You and everyone else on this floor. I've already seen a bunch of them fly out through the crack I left in the door. There's no stopping it now, Hutch. What do they do? What's going to happen? They're known as SCP-149, Hutch. You're not familiar? Well, they're nasty little creatures. A type of mosquito that carries a gruesome little retrovirus that has no doubt been injected into your bloodstream a dozen times by now. It transfers when they draw blood. In a couple of hours, you'll start to feel the effects as the virus takes hold and larvae begin to grow inside your body. Then, as they hatch, well, let's just say it's not a pleasant experience. One of the worst ways I've seen people die in all my time here as a prisoner of the SCP Foundation. Why? Why are you doing this? You agreed to come here. I saw the interview tape. You agreed to everything. You would have been dead by lethal injection 2 years ago if we didn't recruit you. Wrong, Hutch. Wrong. They didn't tell me everything. They left out some very important details. Very important ones. You killed your own kids, Shep. You killed your own kids and your wife with a goddamn baseball bat. By all accounts, you should be rotting in hell now. But no, you're here, enjoying ice cream and hamburgers and watching movies when you're not helping with experiments. And now you've killed us all. Oh, poor Hutchinson is about to cry, dear listener.
You're bawling worse than my little daughter did before I bashed your brains in. Be a man, Hutch. Die like a man. Congratulations, Shep. You tricked us all. But if you're saying that you have any noble reasons for killing us all, I know that's bullshit. And anyone listening to this recording will know it's bullshit. You can't really expect people to believe that you didn't enjoy watching all those people die in the experiments. Terminally ill convicts that would have been dead in a month, or a week, or a year anyway. Dr. Mard told me all about the look you get on your face when watching another person die. That's what this is really about, isn't it? You're just another pathetic killer. Just another psycho who needs to watch people die. A sociopath that will dig through 4 feet of concrete to kill all the people he's come to know. All the people who give two shits about him. Don't listen to Hutch, dear listener. He's showing his true colors now that he's about to die. It really is quite sad. And what about you, Shep? Won't you die from these mosquitoes too? Will you even be alive to watch the 40 people out there die? Oh, I'll die eventually. Remember how I was involved in an experiment with these bugs? Well, Dr. Mard estimated that the medicine they've developed will last 48 hours or so. That's what happened to Fred Thompson anyway. He made it to 50 hours before the mosquitoes burst out of his eyeballs and flew out of his nostrils and his mouth. That's plenty of time for me. Plenty? What are you doing? No, Hutch! Whoever finds this tape recording, don't believe a word Shep said. I just snapped his neck. I couldn't let him enjoy this. We're all dead. But I couldn't let him enjoy this. Now I need to go make sure they seal us all in here so no one else has to die. Damn it, Shep. You son of a bitch. I knew we should have put cameras in these rooms.
SCP-149 is a breed of mosquito which carries a strain of retrovirus that mutates, regenerating human cells into fertilized mosquito eggs. SCP-149-A is injected directly into the bloodstream when SCP-149 feeds. The retrovirus quickly works on the nucleus of the cells, warping the DNA. SCP-149 appears to go through its maturation cycle in a matter of hours. By the time the subject is able to feel any effects, the first generation of SCP-149 has already grown inside the subject's body. SCP-149 primarily achieves exodus through the mouth and nostrils, occasionally being diverted through the sphenoid sinuses to escape through the eye sockets. Hey guys, thanks for listening. I want to give you all a quick heads up regarding some upcoming political ads you may start hearing leading up to this year's presidential election. These ads do not represent my own political viewpoint. So if you hear a political ad play on the podcast and it's not in my own voice, then it has absolutely nothing to do with me personally as a podcaster. Thank you again for being a dedicated listener of mine, and I can't wait to have another amazing year with you guys. I'll see you in the next episode.